Alex in Manhattan, that was Yamit Mamo with My Angel Put the Devil in Me, which Miranda Hart mimed to very convincingly, but she didn't really sing it. You're listening to Who on Who with me, David Tennant, and Russell T Davis here on BBC Radio 2.
My bad, bad angel, you put the devil in me.
Obviously, Hollywood is the home of lots of television. You're on record as saying you love television, that it's sort of
yes. It's
kind of in your DNA. Do you love films in the same way?
I do. Well, I'm not a film buff at all like that. I'm really coarse in my taste and wouldn't go to see what I still call an art house film or something like that. I'm afraid my poor boyfriend cannot get me to see anything with subtitles in, which is really ignorant, isn't it?
You told me to see Let the Right One In.
But that's got vampires.
Oh, I see.
And great death in it and an assault at a swimming pool. Yeah. It's brilliant. That's my running joke at home is if it's got a monster and a spaceship and an explosion, then I'm very happy watching it. I go for spectacle. I actually do go to the cinema for spectacle.
Right.
Oh, I'm coarse. I'm just coarse.
How has your writing changed by working on Doctor Who?
That's hard to know. I tell you why that's hard to know, because you learn things.
You probably
things.
Can't tell.
No, exactly. Except no one thinks about my writing more than I do. So I do think about it all the time. I think about the problem is, and there must be brilliant things coming from it, I hope, but the problem is you learn things on Doctor Who that don't apply to anything else. Sometimes a science fiction drama, there's something strangely radio drama-like about it, in that someone will pick up a gun and point it at someone. And the more I work on these scripts, the more I realise that actually they still need a line saying, I'm going to kill you, which is weird. Drama's normally the opposite. It's like, you know, you can see someone pointing a gun, you don't need the line. Take the line out saying, I'm going to kill you. There's something about science fiction, because it's unreal, because everything in it is unreal, that demands that you add more lines.
Serve it up.
Yeah, it really explain clearly what's going on. It's quite odd that, because my natural writing style doesn't explain what's going on. I will not have characters sit down explaining why they're doing things. And in science fiction, you have to do that because they're not doing real things. They're doing artificial things with lasers and reality bombs and things like that. So I just don't know. Maybe I never will. I don't know.
Well, that's probably best. I mean, you don't want to be too...
No.
...full of self-examination. Here's another clip.
Ah. You'll have quite a bit of this. Atmospheric disturbance. Just a little part.
Oh, a doctor. What about you now? Who've you got? I mean, all those friends of yours.
They've all got someone else. Still, that's fine. I'm fine.
I'll watch out for you, sir.
You can't ever tell her.
No, no. But every night, doctor, when it gets dark and the stars come out, I'll look up. On her behalf, I'll look up at the sky and think of you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's Me in the Rain with Bernard Cribbins.
Sir Bernard Cribbins.
Yeah.
Why not? The campaign starts here.
What a magnificent actor. We've had a lot of magnificent actors, though, over the years, haven't we?
Very lucky.
And from every sort of range of... Yeah. The acting world.
Yeah, your posh theatre.
Posh theatre, Derek Jacobi's, and your Working Man's Club, Peter Kay's.
Absolutely. A new talent as well, you know, Russell Tovey, Lenora Critchlow.
Yes.
All those people in there. Yeah. That's been one of the best things, I think.
Keri Mulligan, who apparently is going to win an Oscar now.
She's not doing badly. Yeah. All down to Blink.
Oh, exactly. She owes us everything. how important do you think it's been to have big names, big actors in the series?
It does no harm. It's brilliant. I mean, people become big name actors because they're brilliant, actually. It's a very merit-driven industry, and if your name's out there, then you're good, Frank. I really believe that. Everyone has their favourites. Everyone has famous people they don't like. But actually, everyone's got something going for them if you've made it that well. And they bring an audience. You know, I genuinely believe it increases your audience. I think, you know, if you put Penelope Wilton into something and she graced us three times with her presence, then I think you get perhaps a theatre-going audience or a sort of BBC Four type audience that will come and watch Penelope being in something. And at the same time, you get eight-year-old kids discovering what a brilliant actress this woman is. I love that. So it increases the whole range of the programme. So on a ruthless level, it gets a bit of publicity every week, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you cast Kylie and you'll be publicised to death.
Yes, that helped.
But you wouldn't cast her if she couldn't act, and I knew she could act. I used to watch Neighbours all the time. I thought she was wonderful and she was brilliant. So it's part of that public game again. Look who's in it this week.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So are you pleased?
Yes. Are you? I am. Enormous. Please doesn't cover it. I mean, you don't stop and assess it, really, and maybe you never do. I remember this happened during Queer as Folk, people said, you know, which was a big success.
Well, when you look back on Queer as Folk now, how do you feel about it?
I don't. You see, it's right. At the time, I would have said, once it's all over, I'll look back and I'll really be pleased with what I've done. And it's 10 years later, and I've never really gone and done that. But I love it when it crops up, but you just move on to the next thing.
But Queer as Folk probably changed your life.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And Doctor Who has probably changed your life.
Yes, but your life just carries on, doesn't it?
You're there in it every day, I suppose. So it's an ongoing story for you.
Yeah. And there's opportunities you get, and unashamedly doors open within the industry because of those successes, which is, you know, good for me and annoying for other people who don't get that. But it is different with Doctor Who because it was always my favourite show. And to see it being number one all the time, to see it, you know, just number one at the top of people's conversations, you know, you can say to anyone in this country, I think I work on Doctor Who, and they'll know what you mean.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant. You and I have worked on a million shows, and that's not true of any other show, actually.
No, it's completely unique, the kind of reach it has, and the kind of cross-cultural, generational appeal that it has.
And that is lovely, especially when I always loved it. I always thought everyone should love it. Yeah. And it was amazing to me that other people didn't. And now you see it sort of fully restored and lionised. I love that. I think it absolutely deserves it.
Well, the final one goes out in a couple of days.
Yes.
I'm very proud of it.
Our final one.
Yes, sorry.
It carries on.
Was that a little self-centred there? Apparently it carries on without us.
Yes, I won't be watching. No.
But then it seemed to do all right from 1963 to when we showed up.
Merlin's rather good. I think I'll get into that.
Yes. Well, you know, there's other things.
We will be watching like good, faithful fanboys.
I can't wait.
I know. Can you imagine? We won't know what happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you now. It's been a pleasure working with you for the last 5 years.
Stop it, shut up. We can't begin to say the same amount in return.
Well, I'm glad we got to do this today. I hope we haven't bored everyone to death.
Who on who?
Who on who?
Who?
Russell T. Davis, thank you for being here.
David, thank you.